Vayter and Shasper and Daf Chaf Aleph, picking up on Chaf Amud Beis by the brand new Perek Hayoshin Tachas Hamita. As we make our way through Shas, very, very exciting. So, Zuck the Heiliger Mishnah, let's just jump right into it, shall we? Mishnah says we're going to see a two-way machlokas, but it's going to be sandwiched. We have a Tanakama against Rabbi Yehuda, against Rabbi Shimon. It's going to bring a story from Rabbi Gamliel. Hayoshin Tachas Hamita B'Sukkah. Let's say a person goes and he sleeps underneath a bed inside of a sukkah, but you're under the bed. Are you Yotze if you sleep under the bed? So we have first the Tanakama says, Lo Yotze De Chovasa, you are not Yotze Yer Chov if you do such a thing. Rashi says, because it's an ohel that's mafsik. You have a ohel that's being mafsik between you and the sukkah. And the ikar yeshivas a sukkah is a chila shtia and shina. You have to be able to eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah itself. And this is underneath something underneath the sukkah, which is no good. I'm Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says it's not a problem. No, again, ayinu shayinu. We used to do, we saw this gemara earlier. So it's mentioned on Daf Yud Aleph. It's also, yeah, Daf Yud Aleph. We saw the storyline. We used to go at Shayinu Yukinim Tachas Hamita Ufnei Zakinim in front of the elders, the great sages. We used to go and sleep under the bed. Velo Amru Lanu Davar, and they didn't say anything to us. And Rashi says on this, Delo Asi Ol Arai Mavatel Eskeva. You can't have a dearest Arai of this bed, a temporary type of Ohel, to knock off an Ohel Keva. This is Rabbi Yehuda. This is important. We're going to see this in the Gemara, obviously. And the bed is temporary. The Sukkah is Keva. And therefore, it's not Mavatel, so you're fine, even sleeping under the bed. I'm Rabbi Shimon, or Shimon comes in, he says, like the Tanakama, says that no, Maisa, you're actually not going to be Yotze to be doing such a thing. Story time to bring out this point. He says, Maisa B'Tavi Avdu Shavu Gamliel. We've learned this a few times already about Tavi, who was a great person, who was the Eved of Rabbi Gamliel. Shaya Yoshin Tachas Tamita, he would sleep underneath the bed on Sukkis, in the Sukkah. V'Armelan Rabbi Gamliel is a canon, he used to say, Re'isim Tavi Avdi, did you see my Eved Tavi, who Tamil Chacham, Yodesh? He's a Talmud Chacham. He knows that Avodim are Patrim in a Sukkah. Lefikach Yashinu Tachas Amita, therefore he sleeps under the bed. Lefid Arkenu Lamadnu. Lefid Arkenu means like a Derech Agav. And we learn along the way from his statement, Shayoshin Tachas Amita lo Yotze Techovasa. Someone who sleeps underneath it is not going to be Yotze Yischof. Now, what exactly is this talking about? We know that Sukkah is a mitzvah sasesha as man grama. And Avodim are the same din of women that they're Patr. And we learn that from Gemara Chagiga, Rashi points out. And therefore, you see, wow, what a Talmud Chacham that he would sleep under there in order not to be Yotze. Rashi points out that the Derech Agav comment means to say, even though he didn't say it l'shem limud, he didn't say it to learn from, Ela l'sichas chulin ba'alma. He was just speaking out these ideas. So he was praising his servant, and he's saying how great he was. Still, we learned from this that someone who sleeps under the bed is not going to be Yotze, is chov, period. Okay, now, Zok the Heilige Gemuri. So we see so far, in Machlokas in the Mishnah, you sleep under the Sukkah, the Tanakam says you're not Yotze, Rabbi Yehuda says you are Yotze, the Rishim brings the story of Gamliel says you're not going to be Yotze. Now, Frek the Gemara, understand, what's the problem? V'haleka Asara, underneath the bed, it's not 10 tefachim tall, which even though one tefach is considered an ohel, like we just learned the other day, however, but below 10 means it's part of the extended surroundings. Therefore, you shouldn't be, what's the question, that what's the Havim to say that would be a problem? There's the Gemara. Tomorrow, Tirgum Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Bemita asara." We're talking about a bed that actually Mishnah is discussing a case that's 10 tefachim tall, which means that if it were less than 10 tefachim tall, then according to all, it wouldn't be a problem to sleep under the bed. But this is talking about more than 10 tefachim, and that's where the machlokas is coming up. Now, Zuk the Gemura. This is going to bring us to a question on Rabbi Yehuda. First, we're going to have a nice little discussion about this. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Olos that says the following. We're going to see a Machlokas of Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah in Olos says, Echad chor shecharu omayim, o shiratzim, o shechaltu melachas, v'chein midbach avonim, v'chein savar shel koros, mael alatuma. These are a whole bunch of cases where we memela come out with an oil of a tefach. So let's say a case of a person where you have water that hollows out an area underneath something, or you have shrutzim that go and they cause an area to have a oil of a tefach. Or what happens is it got literally eaten away by salt, like meaning that the ground is just like eroded. And or if you have like a pile of stones and underneath some of the stones is an open area. And also, let's say you have a case of, Rashi points out this is talking about, koros harukos, if you have a bunch of beams that are set up one on top of the other in the ground, but it ends up having that there's an open space underneath. All these things, maila latuma, in other words, just a mamela matziv where you have an open area of a tefach underneath something, then the stuff on top of it creates an ohel. And if you have, let's say, a kezias of a mace there, and something else that's a makabal tuma, that could be makabal like food, which is next to it, it's not touching it, but it's underneath the same ohel, it's going to actually work as an ohel. That's the Tanakama. Nope. Kol ol shein ol sabide adam. Any ol was not done by person. An ol is not considered an ohel. So we have a Tanakama says any hollow that comes out naturally, even if it's naturally, you can have tumas ol. And he says got to be man made. Rashi says it's got to be with intent to make an ol. It's got to be with the kavanah that's going to be the case. Read it inside. Yeah, oil, ain't oil, lutoma. You have to make sure that it's actually happening. My time in Rabbi Huda. In fact, why is that? What's Rabbi Huda that he says that it's not considered an oil? It is a tefach. We know once something reaches a tefach, it's considered that there's an oil there. So why would you say not like that? He says, pulls the nice Gruzeria shovel card. He says simply, beep, turn the page. Chaf Aleph Amen Aleph. He says, we learn because there is something from the Mishkan. Yolf Ohel Ohel Mi Mishkan. We learn the words from the Mishkan. Ksiv Hacha. It says over here by Toma, it says, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamas Bohel. This is the law when it comes, Zos HaTorah of Adam, of a person when he dies in Ohel. Ksiv Hasam is over there by the Mishkan. But Yifros is Ohel Alam Mishkan. And he spread the Ohel on top of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu. Mal Holam Bide Adam, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu, he spread it out and he was making the Mishkan, he's throwing the cover over it. That was with the Adam. Afka bidei Adam. So to hear, this is something which is bidei Adam. So therefore, if it's not made by a person, it's not considered an ohel. In fact, the Gemara, v'rabbanan. And what about the Tanakama, who says that if it happens by itself, it is considered an ohel. Ohel, ohel, riba. He says the pasuk keeps repeating the words ohel as a riboy to include even something which is natural. The pasuk says zos toras adam ki yomas ba'ohel kol haba ela ohel v'chol asher ba'ohel yitma shivet samu. Why does it keep saying over and over? They say even something which happens naturally, it's still going to become an ohel. So we have clearly established, Rabbi Yehuda says, that if the ohel is not from man, it's not considered an ohel for tumma purposes. The Gemara is not going to question that. First, an introduction to the question, then the question itself. So we know there's a famous idea. Says Gemara, "Savar Bihuda Kol Ol Shein Also Be the Adam In Oil." Are you telling me that oil is not made by a person, not considered oil? Raminu. We have a Mishnah found in Oilos. Yeah, in Para, because we just had Oilos. Now we have something that's going in Para, which says a little bit differently. There used to be a place in Yerushalayim. Now we know that in order to be able to go ahead and get the stuff of the Para Aduma ready, that there's a principle which we've learned in the past, that the Tzdukim used to say that you're not allowed to be Tame at all in order to do such a thing, to be preparing the Efer of the Para Aduma. But Chazal say it's not true necessarily, meaning you're allowed to have a Tevul Yom. Let's say a person became Tame and then they went to the Mikvah. According to the Tzdukim, you'd have to wait till the next day in order to be good. According to the Heilige Torah, you're allowed to, even a Tevul Yom, someone went to the Mikvah that day but didn't wait till Erev Shemesh, they're also allowed to be involved with that. Now, in order that the Yidden not lose track, this is all Rashi, by the way, in order for the Yidden not to, and the Gemara, as we've learned earlier, in order for the Yidden not to lose track of the chashivas and how important it is, that you have to be tahor, you can't be tame completely when you're being involved with this, with the Paraduma, they went out of the way to make other stringencies, more chumras, that people wouldn't come to take this, not as seriously as they should. And therefore, there were a lot of halachas enacted to make sure that happened. So one of them was the following. Chatzer was how you Yerushalayim. They had these courtyards in Yerushalayim. Al-Gabe a Sela, that were on top of a rock. A Sela means here, this is a rock, going all the way back. Misheshish Yemei Bereishis. This is like, the stone in the ground. And we're worried about over here is something known as Tumas HaTahom. Tumas HaTahom means that maybe there is some sort of body that's buried somewhere and we just don't know about it. So what we say is that they would go and put them over there because the likelihood of having a body buried under there when that rock has been there forever is very unlikely. So they would go and build them on that. V'tachteyam chalal. And they would build a platform that would go on top of that, and underneath it had a chalal of a tefach, b'pnei kever tohom, just in case that there was something that was underneath over there. There were being women over there that were pregnant, and they would go ahead and they would give birth over there. And they would raise their kids over there in order that they should be the ones who are going to go and gather the water to get the stuff ready for the para. Now, Mivi and Shvarim, they used to go and they would bring oxen, Va'al Gabay and Losas, they would lie doors flat on top of them, across them. Vitinokos, Yoshvan Al Gabay, and kids would sit on top of that. Vikosas shall even be damned, they would have these cups made out of stone in their hands. Why of stone? Again, so it shouldn't be something, it's going to be Mekabal Tuma as well. Higil Shiloch, they would get to the place, which was the Mayan, the spring where they would collect the water. Yardu Tochamayim Amum, they would go down into the water and they would gather up the water. Rashi says that this Tana, Kasava Haitana, Milo, it has to be you actively are sticking the bucket in the water and gathering it and not lowering it down with a rope in order to get the water. So they would do that. And they would get up and they would go and they would sit back on top of the doors to bring the water in order to go ahead and use it for the Eifah part. Rabbi Yossi argues on that last point. He says, no, they wouldn't even get off the ox over there either. They would go in and from their place, they would lower down the stuff, they would gather up the water, and they would fill it up. Why? Because he was worried that the issue of Kevratom, maybe there was a dead body underneath that spring, the water, the ground there, there was some sort of dead body, and there was an empty space to stop it, and therefore the dead body would shoot up. And it would make the person tummy. Vitanya, we looked in a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, on all of this story, he says, they would not bring doors. Elashvarim, they would just bring the ox, and the kid would just sit on the ox. You'd have to have a nice, fatty, McFat ox. Rashi says, Shakrisa Rechavos, there would be a very wide stomach. So, Tinokos, Yoshin Lay, and the kids would sit on them, and the stomach would be mafsik, and the Tinokos, Mailan El Aretz, there would be the Ohel. And everything seemed to be good and dandy. Rashi says, the Gemara is going to explain why they didn't bring doors, but the point is that the stomach could do it. So what do you see nonetheless, as Rashi spells out, Alma, Ashmein and Rabbi Huda, the Shidrasan shel Shvarim, Shehi Kein Gag, V'chalel shel Behema, Hu Hel, Mafsik, V'afagav, Dein Osei B'dei Adam. What do you see over here? The spine of the animal and the stomach itself, that's the thing that's creating the oil over here. And it wasn't an oil that was done bidei adam. Oh, I thought you said that anything that's not done bidei adam is not considered an oil. So how are you saying over here that that's what they used to do, that we allowed that the animal itself would be the oil? Says the Gemara. It says the Gemara says it out. Vahashvarim the oil, she'enu asibidei adam hu, v'katani, it's not made of v'katani, v'huda omer, lohim v'yin d'losas elashvarim, they wouldn't bring doors, rather they would just bring the shur themselves. What's going on? How does that work? Answers the Gemara. Rav Dimi comes and explains, kiyas Rav Dimi, omer Rabbi Elazar, he says that mode Rabbi Yehuda, kimlo egrov, Rabbi Yehuda would be maskim, in the case of kimlo egrov. What that means is as follows. When the natural one is less, when you have that natural ohel, so then if it's just a tefach, that's not considered an ohel. But when it's this, when it's less, when it comes to the size of an egrof, of who, and Rashi points out, it's an egrof of Ben Avtiach, who had a very big fist. The egrof is a fist. The fist of Ben Avtiach, his fist was the size of a normal person's head. He's a maskim that if you reach that size, then it actually is considered an ohel. Once you reach the size of the fist of the normal person's head, right, of Ben Avtiach, the fist of Ben Avtiach, it's considered an ohel. Even if it's bidei shamayim. Oh, beautiful. So in just one flow sentence, when the natural ohel is less than a fist of Ben Avtiach, then it's not considered ohel. However, if it reaches that size of the egrof of Ben Avtiach, then even though it's bidei adam, bidei shemayim, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's considered an ohel. Then we have a braisa which backs this up. Tanya nami hachi, omod Rabbi Yehuda, b'shkifin uvin kike asloim, which Rashi explains to mean that Shkifim is Sloim and Noflim, if you have these rocks that fall off the mountain through wind, and that is up to like a big hole over there that's like indented, and the Kike is Bikuin. Similar like these open areas within the rock itself that have an oil over it, in such a case like that, where it was big, where it was large, and it's larger, the size of an egg roaf, that even he would be maskim, that that's considered an ohel, period. Frek the Gemara, now hold on 1 second. Right, but the door situation, right? We have the door leaning over. That is many a grofim, right? From the ground up until the door, there's many of them. Rabbi Huda says not to use them. Sounds like the reason it wouldn't work is because it's ein derech ohel bekach, right? That's not the way they're doing the ohel, by taking a door and turning it sideways. But the shore, but there should be kol shekein shvarim by the shore, the same thing. Neither should actually work, or either neither of them should work, or both of them should work. Why is it you're not allowed to use the door? So what's going on over here? How do you understand this? Amar Abaye, relax. He wasn't saying, of course you could use a door if you'd like. He didn't say you can't use them. He's just saying it's unnecessary to, right? Lo hutzuchu lavid losos. You don't need to bring the door. That is answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Amar, lo yumivin losos kol ikar. They wouldn't bring doors at all. Even though a door could be used, they wouldn't do it. Why? Why wouldn't they do it? Shemipnei, shedaitu shatino gasalav. Because a kid, if the door is there and it's going across and it's making this like, parallel to the ground, and this kid's lying on this door over there, he feels very confident over there. He's gasa alav, and shema yotzi rosho echad mi'evarav v'yitami. He's going to go ahead, and he's going to feel comfortable. So what is he going to do? He's going to stick his head or his hands out of the limits over there, and he's going to come tummy from kever to home, from maybe there being a dead body buried there, as opposed to the animal itself. In order for him not to fall, he'll keep his arms and legs inside the landcraft at all times. Whoops, left out two words. Beep, turn the page. Bekever hatom. It'll become tummy from kever hatom. And therefore, we don't use doors. But again, you could do it, but we just don't in order not to come to that problem. Tanya kavasei de Rava. We have a bright switch backs up Rava, straightforward. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, lo yom yifi and losa skolik. They wouldn't bring doors at all. Mipnei shedai to shetinu gasa alav. Shami yotzi rosho lecha mivar. V'yitame bekever hatom. Ela mivi and shvarim amitzrim. They would bring these Egyptian oxen, which were very, very fat. Shekirish the same. Rechava said these wide stomachs. V'tinu yotzioshim al gabeim. V'kosa shal evan bidem. The kids would sit on top. And they had these stone cups in their hands. They would get to the spring, and they would go down, and they would fill it up. They'd go back, they'd sit on them, they'd bring the water, and that's how it was done. So where we stand right now is we know that Rabbi Yehuda would say that there an ohel that happens by itself is considered an ohel as long as it reaches a state of egrof. However, that's why Rabbi Loza came along and he answered up for this, and everything sounds really, really nice over here. The only problem is the question that all y'all better have been wondering the whole time, and it goes as follows. Says the Gemara, V'arei mita t'yeshba kame egrofim. We know that the bed, there's many egrofim from the bed going, especially if it's 10 tefachim off the ground. You can fit many of their hands over there, the fists over there. So then, and yet we see in the Mishnah Utanan, Rabbi Huda Omer, no gonna inu shayinu yishayim tachasimita befnei zakenim. We used to go to sleep in front of the zakenim, and then say there's any problem over there. Why wouldn't there be a problem over there? What's going on? You're lying under a thing which actually has an ohel. Remember back to the Mishnah had pointed out that Rabbi Huda and the Mishnah said that they slept under the bed. And Rashi says alma ohel arai lav ohel hu. We see that an ohel arai is not considered an ohel. And the rabbis didn't say anything, but if it's more than egrof is considered an ohel, why wasn't this considered an ohel and therefore problematic in order to sleep underneath it? We're going to see four different answers to this question. First two are going to get rejected. We're going to have a third one which will stand, and a fourth one also will be a winner-winner chicken dinner. Here we go. Answer number one, says the Gemara. Shavarim nami legabon, shiny mita, hol ulegaba asuya. A bed is different. You know why? Because it's made to sleep on top, not underneath. Therefore, it doesn't have a shame of ohel, since it's done to be on top and not underneath. Therefore, it's not called ohel altogether, and therefore there's no problem with sleeping underneath it. Frex the Gemara rejected Shavarim Nami Ligaban Asuyan. By an ox also, it's made for on top and not underneath it. And if it's been on top and underneath, and that shouldn't be an ohel either, and therefore it shouldn't work. This is the Gemara. Okay, good point. So answer number two. Kiyasa Rav and Amar Belazar, shiny shvarim, says oxen are different. Holu meginim al haroim b'chama v'pnei chama u'b'kshamim v'pnei k'shamim. Says that ox are different. You know why? Because ox is used by shepherds to put their heads underneath their bele during the heat, when this protects them from the sun, and during the rain. So underneath is used. And therefore, since underneath is used, by the ox, therefore it's considered an ohel. But by a bed, the underneath is not used, and since underneath is not used by a bed, therefore it's not considered an ohel, and it's not a problem to sleep underneath it in the sukkah. Says Gemara, what are you talking about? The beds, we do use the things underneath. We would keep those shoes over there. They would put their shoes or sandals and their shoes underneath it. Therefore, it also should be an ohel. Rashi points out that that was a way only keep one's shoes under there, not more. That's why you have Tamid Chachamim. Why? So people don't come in and out all the time to get things, which would be a genai to walk into somebody's bedroom all the time, for someone else to be walking into the bedroom. So therefore, it would be a genai. But the point is that we see that the bed also is used for something underneath, and therefore it should be an ohel and should be a problem to sleep underneath it. Rejection to answer number two. So answer number three, which will stick. Ela Merava, Shani, Shvarim, Ox are different. You know why? Hol Vasuin Lahogin Al Bnei Ma'ayin Shalehem. Shenemar or ubasar talbisheni uvaatzamos vegidim tisochecheni. Right, what does that mean? So, but the ox, the spine, and the ribs, and the liver are there to protect the intestines of the body, and therefore it's considered something which is ohel, it's mahil over. And the pasuk even says straightforward that it's considered like an ohel or ubasar talbisheni, that skin and flesh will dress me, will give me, like, clothe me. But some of them with my bones and with my sinews, to sochichini, it will cover me over, right? So it's going to take care of me. So you see, that's considered like an ohel itself, and that's why by an ox it is considered an ohel, and by the bed it's not considered an ohel. And then we have another answer, was Vibay Sema, Abuda Tame, you could say Abuda goes according to his own logic, that he said earlier in Daf Zayin Mabez, we also referenced in Daf Yud Aleph, that Sukkah Diras Keva Ba'inan. That we know he says with the Tameh, the Amar Sukkah Diras Keva Ba'inan. It has to be a Diras Keva. That's what Yehuda holds. The Havale Mita Diras Arai. And the bed is just a Diras Arai. It's not a permanent thing, a bed. You pick it up and move it all over the place. For Sukkah Ohel Keva, Sukkah is a Kevatika thing. Velo Asi Ohel Arai, Mavatel Ohel Keva, and you don't have an Ohel Arai, a temporary ohel, being mevatel, a permanent one, like Rashi had mentioned in the Mishnah. In fact, the Gemara, really? V'harab Shimon, da'amar nami, sukkah diras keva b'inan. We know Shimon is also mentioned, he teams up with Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Zayin Mabez, and he also says that it needs to be a diras keva. However, v'asi ol arai mevatel ol keva. But he says in our Mishnah that the ol arai does mevatel the ol keva. That's Rabbi Shimon, as we saw. Rabbi Shimon is the end of the Mishnah, who brought the story of Rabbi Gamliel, showing that clearly it is mevatel it. So what are you going to do with that? As a Gemara, that's not a problem. That's Mahal Pligi. They argue over that. That's exactly where the Machlokas is. That Mar Savar, v'asi ol arai mevatel ol keva. Yeah, they both agree that it's got to be an ol keva. But the question is whether or not they say that it's going to be mevatel or it's not going to be mevatel. Yehuda says, lo asi ol arai mevatel ol keva. And Rabbi Shimon says, ol arai does mevatel ol keva. And that's why he says that it's taka going to be a problem under the bed. But Rabbi Yehuda would say it's not a problem under the bed. Beautiful. Now we have the next part of the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shimon Maisa B'Tavi Avdu. Rabbi Shimon tells the whole story. Rabbi Shimon tells the whole story about the Tavi, his Eved, and how beautiful it is that he went ahead and he did what he did, how he slept underneath the bed. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we're going to the Baisa. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Misichasan Shel, Rabbi Gamliel, from the Sicha. Sicha is known as just relaxed conversation. From the Sicha, Rabbi Gamliel, Lamadu Shedevar, we learn two things. Lamadu Shavadim Peturim in the Sukkah. We learn that Evan is Pater from Sukkah, so he sleeps under. Vilamadu Sheyoshin Tachadimit, we learn that someone who sleeps under the bed is not considered, it's not Yotze Yischof. He didn't say that as Alacha. We learned an Aga from his storyline. Says the Gemara, Vilamer Midavarev Shel. Let's say from his words. Why are you saying from sichasan, which is more of a chilled out speech? This is the Gemara Milsa Agav Orchi Kamashon. It's coming to teach you another principle. He had Amar of Achabar Ada, Amar La, Amar of Achabar Ada, Amar of Avnun Amar Rav. Minayin Shafil Sichas Tamid Chacham Tzricha Limud. How do you know that even from the sicha, from their relaxed speech, that you have to learn from the Talmud Chacham? It's what to learn. Shenemar Ve'aleu Lo Yibol, as the pasuk says, the leaves do not wither. Even the sicha of a Tamid Chachamim are meant to be learned from. Pasuk saying that the leaves, which is the lightest part of the tree, they don't wither, means that we're meant to learn out from them as well great things. Okay, zokt the next mishnah. Hasamech sukasa bekaramita. Let's say you have the posts of the bed. So you have a bed, and by your feet and by your head, you have these boards that go all the way up, and then you lie across that schach. What's the din? Kshera. Tanakhama says it's kosher. Rabbi Huda, maybe it says no. Im eini yechol olamim b'fnei atzma psula. If it can't stand on its own, then it's going to be pasul. The Gemara says the Gemara is going to explain what his reasoning is. My Talmud Rabbi Huda, why is this got to stand on its own? Simply because, well, there's a machlokas. Pligi bar b'zeir v'rabbi abba bar mamba. There's a machlokas. Chad Amar once says the reason is b'fnei she'ein la keva. It doesn't have kevias, and we know, as Rashi points out, shemateltel es al yedei mita. It's moved through the bed itself. And Rabbi Huda goes according to his logic that says sukkas dira. It has to be something which is solid and not something that's going to move with the bed and moved all over the place. The Charam, another one, says the reason is you're being maimed on something which is mekabel tuma. The bed is something in mekabel tuma, and now you're putting the schach on top of that. Rashi says, v'afa pishal olamanu psul ela l'schach hol v'ikro sheschach elu maimedim have ki'ilu sichach b'davar mekabel tuma. Even though we only learned that halacha that something can't be mekabel tuma means the schach itself, and this is being maimed the schach, still nonetheless, since it's being maimed it, we look at it like it itself is something which is mekabel tuma. It's a problem. My benai, what's the difference? Either way, it's not good. It says kigon shenatz shepudin shel barzel. Let's say you were to go ahead and stick metal spits into the ground. V'sicha elav, and you put schach across it. Laman damar lefishein de la keva. One says it's not keva. He'll say harish la keva. So there's no problem to do it like that. Laman damar b'nei shemamida b'davar mekabel tuma. Oh, it's a problem because it's harim mamida b'davar mekabel tuma. Amar Abaye. Abaye comes and says lo shanu ella sama. This is the only talking about if you put it actually and rested it on the bedposts of the bed itself. But if you were to put it that it's really independently standing over it, so you see four posts and you put it as the structure, the schach goes on it, and the bed is underneath, and the bed, let's say, has three walls at least, then what's going to be the din? Sure, it's going to be kosher. My time, oh, why would it be kosher? Laman damer lefishein la keva. The one who says the problem is keva, harish la keva. It has kvias over here because it's solid, nothing to do with the bed itself. It's right above the bed. Laman damer pnei shemamida b'davar mekabel tuma. Also, haray ein mamida b'davar mekabel tuma. You're not being mamided on something which is mekabel tuma. Okay, my friends, we're going to stop over here. I wish all y'all a great, great day.